The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.
Hot diggity dog, I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on cliffcentral.com. Alongside me today, Lionel McCormick.
What an introduction. Hello, Gary, and hello to our podcasters.
Today's show is about barking dogs and how the incessant barking of a neighbor's dog can drive you insane. Now, as you know, Lions, in this dog-eat-dog world, every dog has its day. Mm-hmm. And there are times when a dog's barking can be quite melodic.
Where did you get this one?
Now, hold on a second, Lyle. We got to be fair. There are cat lovers out there.
Oh, yes.
That don't want to feel left out. So here's one for you guys. Yeah.
Oh, cute.
This very song is called Despacito.
Oh, yeah.
By Justin Bieber. Let's play the actual original. Come and move that in my direction. So thankful for that. It's such a blessing, yeah. Turn every situation into heaven, yeah. Oh, you are my sunrise on the darkest day. Got me feeling some kind of way. Make me want to savor every moment. Slowly. You fit me, tell me, love, how you put it on. Got the only key, know how to turn it on. The way you nibble on my ear, the only words I want to hear. I think I prefer the dog version.
How could you, Gary? How?
We've got a ton of Afrikaans listeners. Here's one. So Lions, those are a few light moments on barking dogs,
yes.
But truthfully, there are times when there could be nothing more aggravating. I think that all of us have experienced it and do experience it. And the reason we run these shows is because we see the threads and the postings coming through from thousands of people, what to do about the barking dog next door. Yes. So to discuss the law, we have attorney Marina Constas. She's a director of BBM Attorneys. She's a specialist in sectional title matters.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary.
Also, she specializes in neighbors' squabbles.
Yes. And there are
we'll
many.
Throw that in. Yeah.
There are many. That's why I'm busy.
I can just imagine South Africa. We live in another country altogether.
Okay, on the line, we have a lady called Elby who she says she has an old, needy bastard of a dog and two playful puppies. What's going on? LB, hi.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah.
My old needy bastard Diesel.
Yes.
Was a 10-year-old Dashi. When I originally posted that message, I think it would have been around March or April. Mm. And unfortunately, Diesel passed away a couple of months later.
Oh, shame.
Oh, sorry.
So the old bastard of a dog is no more.
He was old bastard, and we will remember him as such. So my dear old Dashi had this annoying habit of perching himself at the back door whenever I left the house and would literally bark from the moment I left up until the moment I returned.
Aww.
So that was a problem at some stage, because obviously whenever you go out to visit a friend or you go out for dinner or you're just at work, my neighbor actually runs a hair salon from her house, and she constantly had complaints of Diesel disturbing her her clients or even her toddler that was asleep during the day.
Yeah, well, maybe she shouldn't have been running a business from her house. Yeah. What are you in a townhouse development?
Actually, in a freestanding, it's all freestanding homes, but they're built in a complex setup. The homes are very, very close to each other, to the point where if I open my bathroom window, I'm literally looking into my neighbor's property.
Do they see you in the bathroom? That's my worry.
Luckily not. We had a slanted slope, so they are higher up than I am.
Where are you, LB? Which town are you in?
I'm in Nelspruit.
Okay, oh, beautiful.
We have a big variety of pets in Nelspruit, and we also have natural recurring wildlife here as well. So we have little dekkerkies and feral cats and leopards and stuff. Everything that goes into the wild nature reserves around us. In my area specifically, the majority of the homeowners here have dogs, and barking is a thing. It's a thing where, especially in the street that I live in, the sound waves travel because it's in a it's a wide open space. So then the sound really travels. So if one dog way up the street has something to say, the rest will respond in harmony. So
they sing in harmony.
Nothing, there's no, daar is geen skinner story wat nie vertel gaan word nie. Everyone knows everyone's business all the time.
Okay, so now you wrote in and you said, you had a few questions. You said, are my dogs allowed to bark? How long are they allowed to bark? And is it reasonable that I can have dinner and be home by 9:30 to make sure they're not barking anymore? Is that too late? And you had a whole lot of questions that you asked. And you've come to the right place because you're going to get another dog that's going to bark as well. So, is jy gereed for die antwoorde? Can we bring in Marina?
Hi, how are you, LB?
Okay, so Marina's our guest attorney and she specializes in this kind of law. What's going on, Marina? What do we do here?
Okay, so Gary, the thing is that I suppose it's all about, again, respecting the neighbors and just ensuring that everybody has access to the peaceful and undisturbed possession of their property. So there are two ways that the law regulates animals. So that's dogs, birds, cats, etc. And that's through an act called the Environmental Conservation Act. And that act is quite clear in that it talks about incessant barking and if there's disturbance of the peace in terms of barking, and it really refers to the reasonableness of how long the barking takes place for, then that act would kick in and an owner who would have been upset by your old dog would have been able to then go to the local municipality and put a complaint in writing, and a noise official would come out and actually see for himself or herself how objectively the barking affects the neighbors, and because it can, I mean, barking can be torturous. We all know that. But there are certain souls on this planet that are more sensitive than others. You know, some people say, well, it barked all day. In the meantime, it barked for 2 minutes, the dog. That's the one thing. Then there's a second.
Now, let's just stop you for a sec before you move on. This noise official. He's called from the noise control unit.
Yeah.
Does every council have one? They should.
Yes, they should. They should.
I mean, do they actually go out to every barking dog? I doubt they'd have enough officials.
Well, I have been regaled with stories of officials not being able to come because of petrol issues, but they should have them, and they do have them, and you can go a little bit higher in council if they don't come because they are supposed to come. And interestingly enough, the highest penalty is through this act because a dog owner with a dog who incessantly barks can be fined up to 20,000 rand.
Wow. So wait a second, Marina. Elijah, you wanted to chip in there.
No, because, I was actually one of those customers.
customers.
We used to play music. So we used to have the municipality coming in with their devices just to actually see if then their volume does not actually exceed the limit that we are supposed to actually have.
When they came, the decibels. Turned down, yes.
They measure the decibels. That's
right. Yeah. So they do actually come. And I've seen.
I think that, is it the, who do you contact? Is it the metro you contact or who
it's your local municipality. It's your municipality
but which department?
I would suppose noise control. There's a noise control department. I'm not sure where it is in every, but every municipality is different. So whilst you've got an act which is governed by a municipality, the other side of it are your bylaws, which you can always rely on. Yeah. And interestingly enough,
Marina, sorry to cut. What is the fine for a noisy dog? If they find that your dog is noisy, what, or a nuisance?
If that control officer goes out and establishes that there is indeed a nuisance, a written notice goes to the owner to say, look, it is a nuisance, you need to stop the dog somehow.
Yeah. How do they do, what are people expected to do? Put their dog down?
Well, I mean, we love our pets. Yeah, so you usually find a pet that barks incessantly is either bored or stressed, and I think there are a lot of vets. I know when I had two Labradors who barked quite a lot, we got them collars from a vet, which was sort of aromatherapeutic, which were fine for about a week, but then they both chewed each other's collars off, so that didn't help us. So you've got to do something. So that's what it says. And if you don't do what they ask you to do to stop, then the 20,000 rand fine or up to 2 years in prison. I've never seen any dog owner being hauled off to prison. But you never know. It's always a first time for everything.
Or a 20,000 rand fine. Hectic. Yes. I mean, we should have got a pet psychologist on this show to tell us how to calm your pet down. But I've also read articles, and I think, you want to talk, Albie?
I just want to interject something, right? From the time I made that comment, my babies at the back there.
Yeah.
They've grown up. They were 6 months old and like between eight weeks and 6 months old back then. They are now both basically almost full grown, and the two puppies I've noticed, obviously I could train them from earlier on to be quieter and so on, and monitor the behavior, which is easier to do when they're puppies than when you're trying to teach an old dog new tricks. So I just started to invest in a variety of them and found a few things that worked. Some heavy-duty industrial rubber chew toys for them. And my one puppy, after she destroyed my couch, she is now completely occupied with that chew toy. She never goes anywhere without it. And it actually stops her from barking because it's too much of an effort to let go of the toy to actually start barking at something.
Albie, can I ask you something? How many dogs have you got?
I've got two.
Two, because that's just something else that comes up in the bylaws as well. Particularly, I've read the Joburg bylaws. It says in a house you only allowed four dogs, and I suppose that can also make an impact on the barking. If you've got six dogs barking or two, it's more reasonable to have two than so many.
Let's talk about, while we have Marina, let's talk about bylaws, which are the laws of the municipality.
Yes.
You're in Mbombela, is that what it's called, Nelspruit?
Yes, and what I've learned about Mbombela is we have a noise department, but there's no one that actually mediates noise complaints here. If they want to get someone to investigate, they have to get them all the way from the Eshlanzeni district in I think it's Witbank or close there. So for them, it's literally a mission to come here to do noise complaints. That's one thing that I've learned, is also why we have a huge problem regarding fireworks and stuff like that, because there's literally no one that's enforcing noise or any of the bylaws regarding noise.
And there are, good bylaws in your area.
Yeah, let's talk about them, Marina. I think you've picked them up.
Yeah, basically, in noise disturbance, it says that no person shall keep or harbour any animal or bird in which manner may disturb or hinder the comfort, convenience, or quiet of the public. And the contravention of that, any the fines would be, okay, it's not a great deal of money, it's 300 rand, can't exceed 300 rand, or you're liable for a 12-month prison sentence. So that's unfortunate, and that's.
But I think they can also fine you per day. I think there's a fine per day. They've got to give you a notice to make your bird, your whatever animals keep kind of quiet. And if you don't, I think you can be fined 200 rand a day for so long as it continues.
Wow.
That's in Nelspruit, your area. So there you go. Albie, don't run away. I want to ask Marina some legal issues. Just stay on the line with us if you don't mind. Marina, sure. Can the body corporate stop me from bringing dogs into my unit?
Yes, it depends on the body corporate rules, first of all. So the model rules in any body corporate, if they haven't tailor-made their rules, says that you can have a dog or a cat or a bird with the written consent of the trustees, which consent can be, which can't be unreasonably withheld. And also there's certain conditions that go onto that as well, which they can. And they can revoke that consent as well if your dog misbehaves in any way. Mm. There are bodies corporate which have said, no pets allowed. And that's, again, by the special resolution when you're amending your rules. If 75% of owners don't want dogs or cats or whatever birds in a complex, they can put that into their rules to say no pets allowed.
And that's that. That's the end of that.
That's it.
Yeah.
A lot of complexes, you know, the representatives agree that sometimes the dogs that are already there can remain, but that no new pets can be brought in. Mm-hmm. Look, I think it's quite a pity. There's so many complexes that are not pet-friendly, and that is a pity.
Yeah. Albie, we're going to let you go because there's a bit of a noise on the line. Many thanks for your contribution. We appreciate it. And go
it's
well.
It's my pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. Good.
All right.
Yeah, Marina.
Just a new, just a provision which is going to really be what has been welcomed in the new sectional title legislation is that guide dogs and assistance dogs are now allowed in complexes without the trustees having to consent to that.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You were last here over a year ago and the new ombudsman had been appointed. Tell us about the Ombuds Office. Just give us the full title and how's it working there at the moment?
Well, the Community Scheme Ombuds Service has been in place and has properly been effectively operating from January 2017. The legislation came in October 2016. And I think that it's had its teething problems, but by all accounts, there have been thousands of disputes that have been mediated and adjudicated.
So, sorry, just so our listeners can follow this.
Yes.
If you have a problem with your neighbour, is that what this is about?
Yes.
Or the body corporate?
Yes.
You can go to the ombud and he'll mediate it for
that's
you.
That's it.
Yeah.
You can.
Let's say you've got a problem with a managing agent where you pay it money and now they're disputing to refund you. This is the place to go to.
Yes, you can take that to the ombud as well. They do have jurisdiction over the managing agent, and it's like R100 if you approach the ombud.
I mean, have they got, let's talk Johannesburg. Yes. Do they have time to deal with all these thousands of matters?
And well, the Joburg office is at the Estate Agency Affairs Board. It's right there. And in this last quarter, they've done about, it's nearly 1,400 disputes that they've either resolved or that have gone on then to be adjudicated.
What about barking dogs? Can you go there?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
and your cat jumping over the fence. And
there you go. But you know, you've got to have evidence. There's so many of my clients have got all these long, sad, woeful tales to tell. But the fact of the matter is you can't just go there and it's my word against yours. You know, you need to build a case. Even though lawyers are not allowed at the ombud in the dispute resolution, you need to have built a proper case.
Can the ombud actually give you an award, a money award? If you're, yes, they can.
Well, they'll give you an award for a specific performance, or if it's in a real levy matter, they'll give you.
What happens if your cat jumps over the wall and scratches their furniture? Can you get an award?
No. That would be a damages claim,
and that's a small claims court or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, so the ombud is the place to go. It's free, or it's R100, whatever.
Yes.
And you get good justice there. Do you recommend that?
You know, I think at the moment, I must say, and quite honestly speaking, it's been a mixed bag. We've had some very, very good awards, and then there's been some odd ones where they go on appeal. But I give them a bit more time. They're recruiting. There's a talent acquisition policy that they've put into place. So, give it a bit of time, and I think that'll be the place to go.
Anything exciting that we as tenants or landlords should know about?
Well, if you're a tenant, the important thing is that you are now covered by the Community Scheme Ombud, whereas before you had no legal relationship with the body corporate. Mm-hmm. So Lionel tenants as well can go off to the ombud on issues regarding the body corporate.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And your neighbour, any problems with your neighbour, that's the place to go if you want it sorted out.
Yep, I would agree.
But shouldn't you start with your caretaker? internally?
Well, you start internally with the process by approaching the person, putting it in writing, creating a paper trail. So, you know, the Ombud doesn't really want every Tom, Dick and Harry banging on its door. You need to try to exhaust internal remedies. And they'll ask you on the form that you fill out, what have you done to look at this matter internally? Yeah. And that's where a robust set of trustees can be helpful.
I've got that song stuck in my head.
Me too.
You've battered.
Cliffcentral.com.